I'm tempted to ask you to go home and take a pair of scissors and cut up all the Christmas cards that have pictures of the shepherds and the angels. Often, what we see on Christmas cards stops us seeing what Luke has actually written. What happened to the shepherds? That's what I want to ask this morning. What happened to the shepherds? And I'd like you to I'd like you to look at what we just read carefully. Okay. I just want you to see what I can see, or what we should see. Can you see verse 8 on the second page? The first thing I want you to notice is that it was night time. And that means that almost everyone was asleep. But the shepherds weren't asleep. They weren't asleep because they were guarding their flock. So you have a group of men, and they were looking after, they were guarding the sheep that belonged to their flock. So that's the first thing. It was at night, and they were guarding the flock. And the second thing I want you to notice is it says in verse 8 that they were in the same country. They were in the same country. Now, the little word country there could mean the whole of Israel or the whole of Judea. But very often it's a reference to the field that was next to a city or the fields that were around a city. So in this context you have a city and the fields around it. And you can see that in lots of places in Luke and in the New Testament generally. So we need to understand that around each little town there was land that belonged to that town, and that's where the shepherds were. So they were nearby. They weren't far away. They were quite near. And so I want you to notice it was night, and I want you to notice that they were in the fields near the city. And then the next thing I want you to notice is that an angel suddenly appeared before them, but I particularly want you to notice in verse 9, the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. Now what that really means is that they found themselves engulfed in a bright cloud. So that we mustn't imagine a light up in heaven. They were suddenly, as it were, swallowed up in a cloud, what's known as the glory of the Lord. This bright cloud of glory. Now, these men weren't expecting to experience that night. They were suddenly, in the dark of that night, suddenly engulfed in a cloud of bright light. And I want you to know that this wasn't the only time that people had experienced this. Okay, if you know your Bibles, if you go back about 1,400 years before this, roughly, there was a time when God gave Israel a tent, a tabernacle. They call it a tabernacle. It was a tent in which to worship Him. So they were living in tents, and God said, "I want you to build a, as it were, a tent to go in the middle for you to worship Me." Now, when they dedicated that tent, the same thing happened. The glory of the Lord filled that place. And you can read about that at the end of Exodus, the book of Exodus. And when that happened, we are told that Moses couldn't even get into the tent. The, as it were, the overpowering glory of God kept Moses from even entering the tent where Israel was to worship God. And again, the same thing happened again 500 years later, approximately, when Solomon built the temple. And they came to dedicate the temple. If you go to Jerusalem, you'll see the Temple Mount, where long ago the Temple of Solomon stood. And when they dedicated that temple, the same thing happened. The bright cloud of the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and we're told that the priests couldn't even stand to minister. This is such a shocking thing. It's not like a torchlight. It's absolutely overwhelming brightness. And Moses, the priests, they couldn't stand to minister in the glory of the presence of God. And some of you know your Bibles, so we can go into the past and say, ah, this is not the first time that that's happened. We can also look a little bit further into the future and say, and it won't be the last time either. About 30 years later, the Lord Jesus took Peter, James and John up to a high mountain. And you can read about this in Matthew 17. It says, he took them up onto this high mountain and his appearance was changed. And it says, his face shone like the sun. And we read a little bit later in that account, while he was still speaking, listen, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. Listen to those words. This is my beloved son, in whom, speaking of Jesus, God is speaking of Jesus, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. You see? So we can point to other occasions when the glory of the Lord, as it were, surrounded and overwhelmed certain men. And this is what happened to the shepherds that night. They were overshadowed by the cloud of glory. Now, this had meaning. This had meaning. Can you see that these two things were happening roughly at the same time? Jesus was being born that night, and that's what the shepherds, the angels say, this day, now the Jews counted the day from the night to the morning, this day a Saviour is born to you. So Jesus was being born, and at the same time the shepherds were being engulfed in the glory of the Lord. And it was teaching them and us something. It was saying to the shepherds, listen, you are now in the presence of God. That's what the point of it is. You shepherds, you didn't know it when you came to guard your sheep, but you are now in the presence of God. And it's teaching us the identity of our Lord Jesus Christ. In one place or another, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the Son of God, or as John puts it, God. The Word was God. And he was given the name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so Scripture, in different ways, is trying to teach us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the glorious Son of God. John writes in his Gospel, and we beheld his glory. And Peter, when he wrote, he was on that mountain too, Peter wrote, we are, or were, eyewitnesses of his majesty. See, Peter and John never forgot what they saw in Christ. And then finally, this is what I want you to notice, and we're back in Luke 2. Finally, in verse 13, it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. And this is why I want you to cut up your Christmas cards. Think millions. Don't think three or four or five. What we are being told is that not only were the shepherds, as it were, engulfed and, as it were, surrounded by the brightness of the glory of God, but they suddenly discovered that they were also in the presence of the angels. And we know from Scripture that there are millions of angels, not two or three or four. This is the army of heaven. Now, some of you might remember that in the life of Elisha, there was a morning when Elisha got up. Well, he was woken up by his servant. And his servant was in a right panic because he looked outside the door of the house and discovered that the army of the king of Syria was surrounding the house. They'd come to capture the servant of God, Elisha. But you remember, Elisha wasn't in a panic at all. He just wanted the Lord to open the eyes of his servant so that he could see that they were surrounded by the invisible armies of heaven. Elisha wasn't afraid of the king of Syria and his armies because the armies of heaven were invisibly protecting him. And Elisha says this, he says to his servant, he says, "There are more who are with us than with them." And that's the truth. So these shepherds were now being brought into contact. It's almost as if God was saying to them, "Now my son has come, you're in heaven." Well, they weren't quite in heaven in the sense that it says the angels went away from them into heaven. But heaven had come down to them. God had come into their world. And that's tantamount to saying you're in heaven. If you're with God, that's what it is to be in heaven. So I want you this morning essentially to have it clear from the Gospel of Luke what really happened to the shepherds. All right? I want you to remember that they were around Bethlehem that night, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and the multitude of angels were also, they suddenly realized that they were there in the presence of heaven. And those angels were praising God for the birth of his son. Now, secondly, and I'll finish with this, I want you to see in this chapter the message that the angel, the first angel, and all the angels, the message that they spoke to the shepherds. Okay. In verse 11, if you have it there, you can read it. The first thing was, they were told that there was born that day, in the city of David, that city there, a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Now those three words, Saviour, who is Christ the Lord, in a way that sums up what Jesus is. He is the Saviour of men. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, promised Son of David, the King. And he is the Lord. He is God. There it is. Everything about him, his identity, is in those three words. And I want you to notice that the angel says, this is good news, right? It's there in verse 10. I bring you good tidings. That means I've got good news for you. And it's for all people. It's for all people. Now, the message about Christ is for all people. That means that the benefit of Christ is offered to all people. But it doesn't mean necessarily that every individual will be benefited. What it means is that the news of Christ and the benefit of Christ is, as it were, opened out to the whole world, all nations. And you and I know that often there are people who hear about Christ, but they don't benefit at all. It says here, the shepherds went to find him with haste. They didn't waste any time. We've got to find this Saviour. It's also true that the wise men later, the Magi from the East, they came to find him. But you know, when those wise men came to Jerusalem and asked where he is, Herod and the leaders of the Jews, they knew where he was. Oh, he's in Bethlehem. But they didn't go to find him. Not everyone who hears about him comes to him. But the shepherds did, and others have. So this message, the angel said, look, this is given to everyone. And we hope and pray that many will benefit from it. That they won't just register it and forget it. Well, what is the benefit? And the benefit is summed up in three words. In verse 14, the first word is peace. Peace. You see, the peace on earth, peace. Now, it's not talking about world peace. It's not talking about the end of the Ukraine and Russian war or anything like that. This is talking about peace with God. And in those words, this peace, the moment the angel spoke this peace, it's as if he began to talk to us about the crucifixion. That on that table is bread and wine, reminding us of the crucifixion of Christ. Because Paul later says that he made peace by the blood of his cross. Okay? So that we only have peace with God if we are forgiven our sins through the blood that Jesus shed at Calvary's cross. Okay? So the first benefit is that those who are in Christ, those who have received him and believe in him, they have peace with God. Peace with God. That means that when you die and you come to meet God, you will not have to stand before him with fear and trembling and the sense of guilt of your sins. Peace with God. And then the next word that sums it up is goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. Now, this word goodwill, and essentially God is saying, I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you. And you think, well, how can God be pleased with us? How can we have this pleasure of God? Well, he tells us later, he says, this is the word he uses. He says, this, speaking of Christ, is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased or well pleased. That's the same word. And what the angels are saying is that, listen, this is what it boils down to. God is pleased with Christ. And I can say this, he's only pleased with him. But when a man or woman or child receives Christ and is found in Christ, then God is also pleased with that person. You see, the pleasure or the delight of God in his children is not because we are good in ourselves, but it is because we belong to Jesus Christ. That's how God delights in us. So what the angels is saying is this, the time has come when God has given you a Savior. And through this Savior, men will have peace with God. And when they meet him, he will say to them, well done. That's what it boils down to. And it finishes, the third word, I said there are three words which sum up the message. The other word is glory to God. Glory to God. You know, we need to understand that everything that was done, the gift of Christ and all that he would do, it was all bringing glory to him. You know, the catechism which we learn as children asks us, what is the main reason we live? What is the chief end of man? Why do you live? Well, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. In other words, God has created us so that we might glorify him. And what we're being shown here is that everything that came with Jesus is glorifying to God. If you want to be a child of God and glorify him, this can only be done in Christ. Well, I must finish. The hymn writer, two hymns are sung at this time of year. The one says, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come, let us adore him. And the only right thing to do when we think of Christ is to adore and worship him. Okay? When I tell you that this was God manifested, when I tell you that heaven shone around him, really I'm telling you that this is what we must do with Christ. We must worship him with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Worship and adore him. That's the first thing. It is absolutely useless. The whole country seems to remember Christmas at this time of year, but how many people adore him? I'd like people to stop wrapping up their presents and worrying about their turkey and adore Christ, the Son of God. That's what's the right response. So adore him. And secondly, one hymn which we sang once, I think, it finishes with these words, then hurry to him, sinner, as you are, as you are. And find in him a refuge, as you are. And that's why the Lord has given us his Son, that we might hurry to him as sinners and be forgiven. Hurry to him, sinner, as you are, as you are. Don't wait to be better. Hurry to him, sinner, as you are. Sinner, as you are, hurry to him. Put your trust in him. Believe in him for everlasting life. Amen.